Welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast. I'm your host, Glenn Blakeney. And today I sit down with Ian Green, international speaker, kingdom entrepreneur, transformational leader, and the founder of Kingdomize Global. For over four decades, Ian has been inspiring and equipping leaders across the globe to think bigger, live bolder, and lead with kingdom vision. From pioneering youth movements to planting hundreds of churches across Europe, Ian has dedicated his life to catalyzing community transformation by instilling kingdom values in the church, marketplace, education, and beyond. Ian is the author of a new book called Just Kingdomize It, which captures the essence of his life message. Don't just believe, build. Don't just attend church, advance the kingdom. Hey, Ian, welcome to the Kingdom Reformation Podcast. So glad that you're here and you could join us for this discussion on all things kingdomize.
Wow. Yeah. Really looking forward to this next 45 minutes, Glenn. Of course, I followed you and I think you followed me. And so I think there's a lot of synergy between us and I think we're in for a really good discussion.
Yeah, absolutely. And just love what's happening in the space of your ministry in terms of Just Kingdomize It, which is a book, obviously, that has just been released. And we're going to take a deep dive into that today. But let's start in the beginning, your journey, your story in terms of how you came to faith and what sparked your spiritual hunger early on, even in your youth.
So I was from a very nice pagan family. No real faith in the immediate family. My grandfather got saved in the Welsh Revival, but it didn't transmit to his children at all. I'm from a little community in South Wales, 3,000-4,000 people, went to a youth club every Friday and Saturday night. It was a Methodist youth club. And one day the leader came in of the youth club and he'd obviously had some kind of supernatural encounter. And up until that point, he was quite immoral. He was on drugs. But the change was so dramatic. And so he started talking to us all the time about it. And I was like 14. I didn't want to be putting up with that kind of nonsense. And so I had a life to live. I was a fun guy. And so I go, I'll leave that religion stuff until I'm nearly dead. And anyway, the thing in this youth club, we used to have what was an annual service whereby you got your badge and you got your card and you're a membership for 1 year. And so he said that, okay, this year I'm going to invite my pastor to come and speak. Pastor, I didn't even know what a pastor was. I knew pasteurized milk, but what's a pastor? And I found out that means a leader of a church. And so the guy came and he preached, and it was quite full on. He preached on Lazarus going to heaven and his master going to hell. And I realized for the first time I was not going to heaven. And that became a little bit of a challenge. And they made an appeal and said, oh, if you want to follow Jesus, if you want to give your life to him, raise your right hand. I thought, there's no way I'm doing that. There's absolutely no way. So I'm sitting on my hands to make sure that didn't happen. And then about, I don't know, 2 months later, he came back to the youth club. And when he came back to the youth club, I thought, oh, what they got him for? He made me feel bad last time. Why they got him again? And so it was like an epilogue type service. And he spoke, I can't remember what he said, to be honest, but at the end of his talk, I felt this inward compulsion that I should surrender to Jesus. And for me, I had this incredible supernatural experience. I felt something light, something holy come inside of me. And it was almost like if it was the washing machine going on inside of me. And I looked at my hands and I'd done many bad things with these hands, but they looked clean. And it was just an incredible encounter. So that kind of got me going in the Christian faith.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, praise God. Yeah, we all have our stories and we thank God for the entrance into his kingdom and all that he does to get us there to know him, to be his children. And obviously you've been on a journey for decades now in leadership from youth ministry all the way to missions in other nations. And what have been some of the defining moments in your leadership journey?
I think I was chatting to someone the other day. I'm probably in my fifth transition in terms of moving from starting youth ministry, and that was really fantastic in my local church. I didn't understand that, but I was a pioneer. I was a pioneer then, and so we'd opened 5 or 6 children's clubs. I gathered a group of people, that the youth pastors, youth leaders, and we began to go into our local high schools. There was 6 of us on a team speaking to 2,500 unsaved young people every week. But when that was coming to an end, and I didn't know it was really coming to an end, and I felt, I was at an event, actually. I was at a Sons of God event, and they were saying, oh, we're looking for a new national youth director. And they'd not had one for 7 or 8 years. And so as I went to this event, I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, you're the guy. Wow. You're the guy. I said, I'm not applying for that job. There's no way I'm applying for that job. Yeah. And he kept on pushing it off, And then 2 weeks later, the chairman of that group came and contacted me and says, Ian, we've been thinking about this role and we wondered if you would do it, right? And of course, I was quite coy and I said, Dave, I'm probably going to have to pray about that. And already knowing the answer, right? And so I think at every transition, I've found it takes radical obedience, because you're going to move out of what you know and where you're comfortable into something that you don't know and where you're not comfortable. And so whether it was that transition or the transition from leading a national youth movement, which was absolutely fantastic, 10, 12,000 people meeting together in a room, planting churches all over Europe. It was just fantastic season. But then feeling that call, again, I took a short trip into Eastern Europe, early 90s, the wall had just come down, and then I'm stirred, I'm moved, I'm in Czechoslovakia before they broke up, Hungary and Poland, and coming back and just saying to Jesus, Jesus, you have to do something to help those people. And Jesus said, then why don't you do something? And I really wasn't expecting to be the answer to my own prayer. And I thought, my get out of jail card is going to be Judith, because we just got married. We were driving a nice car. We had a secure position as a result of my role. I was being invited to speak all over the world. And so I thought, this is a good gig. When I came home and said to Judith, she says, if that's what the Lord is telling us to do, that's what we need to do. Wow. And so gave up the car, gave up my PA, stepped into an environment which was unusual for us at that point. We'd had different experiences of faith up until then. For the last 34 years, we've not received a salary from any organization or business or ministry. We felt, well, we know this is not for everyone, but that was our call. And when I reflect on that, it's just given us so much flexibility that we're not tied or obligated to an organization or to a business or to a company. We actually can do what Jesus wants us to do. And it, as I'm reading the New Testament, it seems the apostles were like that too. They had other sources of income. Okay, Paul encouraged the church to support them, and we received support from churches too. But it's that not only for us to do what we were called to do. So I would say, you know, it's at every transition, it's been, I'm going to take you into something you don't know, and you're going to have to learn as you go. And so that's been the continual leadership journey that we've been on, basically.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And wow, that's, yeah, hats off to you. Appreciate that. Anyone who's a pioneer, who's willing to build and step out and do new things, definitely I admire them. And so, yeah, that's amazing. It seems to me that we're in a time right now where, as we interact and with others around the globe, that there's more individuals stepping into that space of just pioneering, being not disconnected from the body of Christ, but just launching new initiatives. So pioneering obviously has been a massive part of your journey throughout the years. You've already alluded to that, but you came to a place, I believe, and that's really apostolic, but you came to a place where you really had a revelation of the kingdom, just not just ministries or the local church, which are obviously important, but What happened? How did that transpire in your life?
So, Glenn, I'll say up front, like, I have been passionate and committed to the local church. I've been following Jesus 55 years, right? I've only actually ever been a part of four local churches. And I guess I was brought up with God's plan for the planet is the local church. And so when we started doing missions work into Europe, and we had attempted, I say attempted, to plant about 200 communities of faith in cities where there were no known Christians. So we never got any transfer growth because there was nowhere to transfer from. And so during that season, and of course, there was a lot of raw, let's take the city, let's whatever. But the reality, after 20 years of doing that, I began to understand, actually, we're trying to fill the room with people. We talk about taking the city, but actually, we want enough bums on seats so we can pay the pastor his salary on a weekly basis. And I don't know, there became a feeling of abhorrence inside of me going, I can't do this. That's not the plan. That is absolutely not the plan. And so some 30 years previously, I got exposed to some kingdom teaching, largely through a church out of Portland, Oregon, Bible Temple, Jim Iverson, Frank DiMaggio. Those guys had brought that message to England. But because I was ingrained in dispensational theology, it didn't work for me. So I just punted it. And then when I had this moment where I'm feeling there's got to be more than this, I began to revisit some kingdom theology and began to understand the game plan. And the game plan was that the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord in Christ. The game plan was that heaven would come down to earth. It wasn't so much about people going to heaven. It was about heaven coming down to earth. And that began to marinate my thinking. And I just, probably over 3 or 4 years, just had a changed how we planted communities of faith, changed of what the goal was, having a much more generational thinking about what we do and the continued impact. It was coinciding with those kind of things that came to me that brought some radical changes for me.
So good. Yeah. Praise God. You are now in a role where you are the title is the president of Kingdomize Global. And Kingdomize Global is a very bold initiative. And tell us about the vision, what you're building. How is it different? What is distinctive about Kingdomize Global?
If I just give a little bit of history. So I had this felt need that I needed to have material to bring people down the road. Because my discovery over the last 10 years is there's a lot of people. I say a lot of people. There are people leaning in to a kingdom thinking theology. I spoke to many pastors who were, say, 45 years and under, and they just tired of church, but they don't know what else there is. They think, okay, we got 52 weeks of the year. Hallelujah. There's Father's Day, Mother's Day, Christmas Day, Boxing Day. Okay, what are we going to do for the next 48? And that theme that they're on, that continual wheel that they're on, they're going, there has to be more than that. And so I wanted to have material that can actually take them down a path. I'm really not up to debating people, kingdom v. the church v. the kingdom. I'm just looking for people who are already hungry, who are leaning in, and I feel I can give them some fuel. So there was 5 or 6 of us got started getting together a couple of times a year, a couple of hours every week on Zoom. And then year last November, we formalized our relationship and created Kingdomize Global. And Kingdomize Global is a coaching and consultancy business. So we don't even call ourselves a ministry. It's a business. Mm-hmm. And we understand that there are people in the 7 spheres that really they need help. So whether they're in business or whether they're in education or whether they're a church leader, if they have a family, how do you kingdomize your family, etc. So we have started to develop material for that. And And so that's been exciting. One of the things we launched a few months ago was Kingdomize Your Business. So for successful Christian entrepreneurs that realize there's more to this than giving money. There's more to this than giving money to some humanitarian organization or to the church or to the food bank or whatever. There's more to it. So we've been helping them, and it's been quite fantastic. We've been helping them how to kingdomize their business. So what does the kingdom look like in your business? How you deal with your staff, how you deal with your suppliers, what about the community where the business is based? How does that work for you? How do you get the kingdom into that area rather than just doing business, making a profit? And we think that's very important. Making a profit, we think, is very important, because if you don't have a business, if you don't have a profit, you don't have a business. So we think that's very important. But there are other things. So we would talk to those guys about a multifaceted balance sheet. It's not just income versus expenses. There's multiple things on the balance sheet that need to be there if you want to be a kingdomized company. So one of our guys, he's very passionate about education, and Bruce Friesen from Victoria. And he's just has some incredible opportunities at the moment. So he's working with a group out of South Korea. They have a vision to plant 1 million Christian schools.
Wow.
There's another group called the Education Revolution, led by Vishal Mingwandi. They have a plan to disciple 500 million teenagers over the next 20 years. So working very closely, he's working very closely with the First Lady of Uganda. And one of the interactions that we had with that lady was she began to understand that the worldview needed to be understood within the nation. So now she's also the Minister of Education. She's made it mandatory that anybody who does a university course in Uganda has to do a biblical Christian worldview course before they enter their education.
Wow, come on.
And so she's feeding back to us now, and she says, can we do that for the 7 to 12s? So we can drip feed that same content at their level from 7 to 12. So they have something every year in the curriculum. And yeah, it's quite, there's a crossover, right? And so now they are feeling that maybe local churches should become educational centers. And because of that, they've got 10,000 churches signed up to be an educational center. Vishal has got 64 professors who are writing a Christian worldview Wikipedia. I don't know how far this is going, but they were talking to SpaceX, so that even in rural Uganda, they can download material onto a tablet and be taught by an AI teacher Christian worldview, mathematics, geography, history, whatever. So that's one area, okay? That's one area where we're bringing influence. Another guy that we have on our team, Bruce Mann, he's doing stuff in Africa, Burkina Faso and Kenya, where they develop something called lifestyle integrity, which is basically an anti-corruption type thing. But in Kenya, they've been asked by the government to help to put together a 100-day campaign of how to, we're not calling it anti-corruption, we're calling it lifestyle integrity. And so they're doing that. They've now translated or transposed all their material into cartoon form for 7 to 11-year-olds. So on the Christian TV program, which they say, I don't know, they have 50 or 60 million people watch a month. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they say anyway. So it's they realize you're going to have to feed in the whole philosophical view of lifestyle integrity at an earlier age. Same in Burkina Faso, speaking of the law society, speaking of the judicial system. Just a few months ago, 70 denominational national heads came together saying, how are we going to redeem our nation through a lifestyle of integrity? So we have lots of different things going on, and we all have our uniqueness. Brian Beattie, which I think his thing is city and community transformation. Yeah. We don't feel as if we're the puzzle. We feel that we're a part of the puzzle, right? We are here to bring what we have to the table, but to support other people to do what they need to do, but helping them to kingdomize their world in what they are doing.
Yeah, so good. Wow. And it's such a time right now there. This is happening all over the world in different ways, not in the scale what you've described, but it's certainly a critical time. So for those who are sensing there's more than just coming to church on a Sunday, or even entrepreneurs and business people who in many times have said, we need you to help fund our church, help fund missions. All of that's important. I'm not in any way downplaying that, but there's more getting outside of the building and what we're doing in the church and becoming the kingdom, advancing the kingdom. That's obviously very different. So let's talk about the book that was just released called Just Kingdomize It. What's the core message, and why do you feel it's so critical right now? And I do want to just say the timing of the release of this book, I believe, is very prophetic.
Hey, fantastic. So we think there are people leaning into this way of thinking, right? And we wrote the book as an entry point for people who are exploring. So most Christians have heard the term worldview. I'm not sure if they understand what that really means, but it's a prism of how you interpret what is going on in your world as well as the wider world. And so we felt compelled to write the book because we realized there were people who are hungry and they don't know what to do. So the book is very practical in terms of, yeah, we do some theology up front with a kingdom worldview, but then we talk about what does a kingdomized lifestyle look like and how is that different from personal development. We do a whole thing on what does kingdomized leadership look like? How is that different? And kingdomized leadership, we're not just thinking church, we're thinking business, we're thinking politics, we're thinking community. So what does that look like? What are the outcomes of that? What are the principles that are actually driving that? And so that was the kind of reason we actually feel that there is an awakening, and people, as we know, most people are not reading a lot these days. So we try to keep the book fairly slim. So it's 110 pages, I think. It's 110 pages. And it's an easy read, lots of personal illustrations, the tensions that all four authors have gone through in terms of coming to this conclusion, people misunderstanding us. And for me, when I first started waking up this, I didn't have good language to explain to my pastor friends. So they felt absolutely convinced I was heretical. He's gone off the edge. And I can't blame them because I didn't have a good enough language. But now, 15 years down the road, I have a better language, biblical language, that I've been able to develop to help people to understand, hey, this is not weird. This is how it was in the beginning. This is how it was in the beginning. And when you look at the life of Jesus, what is his message? I would have said forgiveness. I would have said going to heaven. But actually, you read the message of Jesus, and you may want to do this. You're listening right now. Listen, look at the message of Jesus. Go to your Bible, and every time the kingdom of God is mentioned, highlight it in your Bible, and you discover his core message wasn't forgiveness. It wasn't going to heaven. It was the kingdom of God. And so that becomes an awakening to you, right? An absolute awakening. And so we have created this little book to fuel people's interest to go, I think there is more. This is not a 500-page tome. I think you can get a hold of this. It's going to be helpful to you.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Ian. All right, let's just address those who are feeling, hey, I feel stuck in religious routine or whatever it may be. And how can they begin to just start kingdomizing their world? You mentioned the book is very practical.
Look, I would say you are where you are because of the friends that you have, the material that you've read, the podcasts that you've listened to. So if you want something different, you're going to have to go somewhere different to get something different. And so I would say, yeah, start. We have a weekly podcast. You could jump on our podcast called Kingdomized Global. It's on Spotify, it's on YouTube. You may want to do that. It's great that you are here, right, on this podcast with Glenn, because he's bleeding into you, probably fresh and new thoughts, which is absolutely fantastic. But you've got to expose yourself to something different to what you've had. And so I would start hunting down people who have a kingdomized view of the world. I start reading, I start dialoguing, I start talking, and I start opening yourself up to new ideas and new processes, because you're going to have what you've got if you stay where you are. You're going to have to open your heart and open your mind so that you can actually understand that God has a tremendous plan for the planet, and you have to work out what your part is in the plan. So there's the big kingdomized difference, right? Pre-kingdomization, I'm saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do for you? A kingdomized person says, God, you have a plan. How do I fit into that? And the whole thing is absolutely reversed. And you actually end up on a trajectory that is quite exciting, quite different, quite liberating, and sometimes a little nervy, but guaranteed not to be bored.
Wow. So good. Yeah. So let's circle back. We're talking about obviously exposing yourself to new ways of thinking, innovative kingdom expressions. The book, Just Kingdomize It. Yeah. Highly recommend it. Had a privilege to write an endorsement for the book, which you thank you for that. And let's get that into as many hands as possible, Ian. So how do those listening on the podcast, watching the video, how do they get a copy of the book?
So it's available on Amazon. So if you have access to Amazon globally, it's called Just Kingdomize It. Look, there's the book right there. Just Kingdomize It, and you'll have it delivered to your door within 2 days, probably. So it's an easy get.
And that's great. Amazon is everywhere. So get a hold of the book. We want to strongly encourage our listeners, our viewers, to get the book. Just Kingdomize It. There's more than one contributor or author. So what's the focus in the book? Just a quick overview.
So there's four of us who are the four directors of Kingdomize Global, and we all bring a specific area of interest and expertise, I would say. So Brian Beattie, he talks about kingdomizing cities, and he's worked for 25 years in his city, and I've seen remarkable changes in that city with the kingdom coming to earth. Bruce Friesen, he's passionate about education. And so I've already mentioned earlier on, but he's got some amazing networks for how he believes that we're going to bring the kingdom through education and discipling nations through education. Then there's Bruce Mann, who he has probably a double portfolio. He's absolutely brilliant on kingdom strategic planning. So if you're in a business or an organization, strategic planning is common, right? It's absolutely common. But to do it with a kingdomized prism is not common. And so he brings that to the table. Him and his wife, which we'll release in probably in September, bring out a course, How to Kingdomize Your Marriage. And so he has done that. And then I have a passion to see the kingdom of God come through commercial environments. And so I love the business person. And again, we're not pulling the pastor down. We're just lifting everybody up. We're lifting everybody up. We're going, yeah, you're an apostle, but you may not lead a community of faith.
Sure.
You may be leading a business. You may be in politics. You may whatever. And so our goal and aim of the book is to liberate people into their kingdom destiny so they can finally feel at home with who God has actually made them. And we believe it's going to be a tremendous source of help and encouragement to people.
Excellent. Excellent. And just want to say, guys, in closing, remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 24:14. We quote it often. This gospel of the kingdom, he said, will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. So we're expanding, we're advancing the kingdom of God, which Jesus heralded and declared, but he also demonstrated it. And so we see the earth become transformed more and more like heaven coming to earth, as you said earlier, Ian. So thank you, everyone, for listening to the Kingdom Reformation podcast. My name is Glenn Blakeney. My guest has been Ian Green, and he's the president of Kingdomize Global. The book is called Just Kingdomize It, available on Amazon. Do yourself a favor, do the world a favor, get yourself a copy of the book and read it, and I know you'll be greatly challenged and blessed. Thank you so much, Ian, for being with us today.
Pleasure to be with you, Glenn. Thank you.